spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Magic Power, was adapted for radio by Sigmund Miller from a short story by a contemporary Israeli writer, Ari Ibn Zahav.
In the early 1880s, there lived a spirited boy in Jerusalem whom everyone pleased to call Yitzhakel. And if any of you suspect that little Yitzhakel grew up to become a famous man, you may guess again. Yitzhakel grew up to become just Mr. Yitzhak, nothing more nor less. When Yitzhakel reached the advanced age of 16, a certain Jacob wanted him as an apprentice to drive one of his stagecoaches that ran between Jaffa and Jerusalem. And he went to see Yitzhakel's 81-year-old father, Todrus.
Ah, Reb Todrus, you're looking younger than ever.
I am not looking younger than ever, Jacob, unless you want something.
I want something? I just came to pay my respects. You know, Reb Todrus, driving a stagecoach is a healthy job. All my drivers are healthy, happy people. They sing as they work. It wasn't so long ago that the only way to go from Jaffa to Jerusalem was on top of a donkey.
Your drivers are no better than donkeys.
Oh, that's not a proper thing to say.
It's not a proper thing to say, but I say it anyway. Maybe you don't know the story of the donkey who complained to the Lord of Heaven.
I know it.
They complained that the stagecoaches were driving them out of business and were making their souls leave their bodies from hunger.
I told you.
Said the Lord, I shall infuse your souls into the bodies of the stagecoach drivers.
That's just a silly story. My drivers are the happiest people in Jerusalem.
So they're happy. What do you want of me?
I'd like you to apprentice your son Yitzhakel to me as a driver.
What?
I have watched your boy. He loves horses. He loves the outdoors. He's someone who shouldn't be cooped up in some study room or shop.
Get out!
But it's a decent
profession. How dare you say that? A driver is the lowest, meanest of all trades. My son will grow up to be a person of some importance, not a lout like you or your drivers. Now get out of my house and never dare to speak to me again. Get out!
All right. I'm going, but wait and see. Yitzhakel was born to be a driver.
And get out and don't you ever dare speak to me again.
And that's why Reb Todrus didn't speak to Jacob, the owner of the stagecoaches. Reb Todrus went at once to apprentice Yitzhakel to a goldsmith, an honorable trade. Yitzhakel hated it. He had to spend the beautiful sunny hours of the day shut up in the basement shop. How he would have loved to drive a stagecoach, to make the horses do as he commanded them. To be a stagecoach driver was the most wonderful thing in the world. But every so often he would steal away to the stables.
Can I unhitch your horses, please? I can do it.
Go ahead. If you make a mistake, I'll cuff you one.
I won't make a mistake. What are the horses' names?
I just call him Reb Reb and the other Ho-Ha.
Here I am, Reb Reb. Your friend. It's me, Yitzhakel, your friend. Oh, that's good. That's fine. You're a fine beast.
You're doing all right. You have a way with the animals, but you have to know how to handle the passengers. They're even worse. The only thing wrong with you is that you're too gentle with the horses.
Horses love me. I don't have to be rough with them.
What is it, Samuel?
Well, I don't like to do this. I was a boy myself once. Ran away from the goldsmith I was apprenticed to.
Yitzhakel hasn't been coming to your shop?
Well, I wouldn't care, but we have a lot of gold to melt down. And I'm behind in my work.
I'll talk to Yitzhakel.
He's been running off to the stables where they keep the stagecoaches. Maybe he should have been a driver.
All right, Samuel. Thank you for coming. Yes, Hockle.
Yes, Father?
Reb Samuel was here. He told me that you didn't come to work at all today. He said you spent your time in the stables with the horses. Is that true?
Yes, Father.
I tried to make a respectable man out of you, and no, no, you would be a piece of riffraff living in a stable.
Father, I don't want to be a goldsmith. I can't stand living in a dark shop bending over a furnace. I can't stand it. I want to be outdoors.
Look at him. He thinks he's a bird. You're going to be a goldsmith, Yitzhakel, even if I have to sit on the shop with you all day long. That foul Jacob with his stagecoaches, he's bewitched you. I want you to promise me that you won't run off from the shop ever again. Promise me.
I promise, Father.
Yitzhakel was an honorable boy, and though his heart broke into pieces, he did not run off to the stables during working hours. He tried very hard to be a good goldsmith, and the harder he tried, the worse he became. And then one day he came home in a panic.
Papa, Mama, I'm going blind, my eyes.
Blind?
What's the matter? What happened?
I can't see well.
Oh, my poor son, my poor boy.
Well, what happened?
I worked over the furnace all day today, and when I went outside, everything became dim. I'm going to be blind.
Well, maybe something's in your eye.
Nothing's in my eye.
What should we do?
Stop it, Rachel. You're frightening Yitzhakel.
Our poor boy's going blind, and you stand there saying I'm frightening him? Do something, Tordris. Do something.
They took Yitzhakel to the Arabian wise man, who was called the doctor from heaven. He collected a little vial of water, made of three parts dewdrops and one part raindrops, and they washed Yitzhakel's eyes. But still, his eyesight was dim. And then they took him to Lazar, the wizard, who gave him grasses and bitter herbs to eat, some of which were so sharp that it made tears run out of Yitzhakel's eyes. But still, he could not see well. Finally, out of desperation, they took him to a real doctor. No one knew this real doctor's name. He came from Australia, and since he wore a sun helmet with a cloth in the back to protect his neck from the sun, he was called Dr. Schmatter, or Dr. Rag. Although Dr. Schmatter was poor and rarely had patients, nevertheless, he knew a thing or two.
Reb Todrus, you and your wife go outside. I want to examine the boy alone.
But you already examined.
Outside?
Never heard of such goings on.
Well, Yitzhakel, now you're alone.
What are you going to do now?
Nothing. We're just going to talk.
But my eyes...
Oh, they can wait. First, you tell me about yourself.
Yitzhakel spoke carefully. He didn't know whether Dr. Schmatter was really crazy, like everybody said, or whether he was really so friendly. Dr. Schmatter brought out two beautiful, shiny apples. He gave one to Yitzhakel and ate one himself. And soon Yitzhakel was telling him all his troubles. How he hated being apprenticed to a goldsmith. How he loved the outdoors and wanted desperately to be a coach driver. Dr. Schmatter listened very sympathetically. And when Yitzhakel finished the apples, he gave him nuts and raisins and honeyed fruit.
And your father will not let you become a stagecoach driver?
Oh, no. I don't even dare mention it to him. But what has this to do with my eyes?
I'll call your parents in. All right, come inside.
Well, what's with Yitzhakel?
He's suffering from a serious ailment.
Really?
He needs a change of climate at once.
Really?
The sooner the better. As soon as you send him away, his sight will improve.
Really?
Do you know anyone in another town?
I have a sister in Safed.
Safed? Isn't that the town where there are three goldsmiths?
No, not even one. I've been there many times.
Safed is fine. It is an ideal climate for Yitzhakel. My advice is that you send him there at once. You'll be amazed how rapidly Yitzhakel will recover.
And so Yitzhakel came to Safed to live with his Aunt Brunner. And then a miracle happened. His eyesight was completely restored.
Well, Yitzhakel, how do you like living here with me?
You've been very good to me, Aunt Brenna.
Your father writes me that I should begin looking around and find you a wife.
Oh, A wife for me?
Well, of course. You're 17 years old and quite a man. And here in Safa, there is a shortage of marriageable young men.
Well,
Now, I know a lovely young girl. She's the daughter of a rich man. You will get room and board for the rest of your life.
Who is she, Aunt Brenna?
Her name is Tamalala.
I know her. She's only 15, and besides, she's skinny.
She'll fatten up, and she'll positively grow out of being 15.
Well, maybe I should wait another year before...
Another year? You'll be 18, a hopeless bachelor. What? People will point you out on the street. They will say, there goes Yitzhakel, the man who was too embarrassed to find himself a bride.
I'm not embarrassed.
Well, then, is it because you think Tamarale is ugly?
She isn't ugly. She has a pretty face,
good,
but...
good. I'll talk to Reb Baruch, Tamarale's father.
A few weeks later, with the approval by mail of Yitzhakel's father, the terms of the marriage were settled. Reb Baruch was elated, for there were few eligible young men in Safed, and even fewer young men as sturdy-looking and as handsome as Yitzhakel. Yitzhakel paid a formal visit to his prospective father-in-law.
Well, well, Yitzhakel, so you're going to take my daughter away from us, huh?
If Tamarla is willing.
Of course she's willing. She thinks you're very handsome.
Well, she's very nice-looking, too. I mean, she's very pretty. Well, I don't mean to say that I'm pretty.
I know what you mean. Now, tell me, Yitzhakel, do you have a trade?
No, not exactly.
Were you ever apprenticed?
Yes, I worked for a goldsmith, but I didn't like it. I hated it.
I don't blame you. I used to work as a goldsmith, but I couldn't stand it either.
Oh, I'm glad you feel that way about
it. I changed over to a silversmith. That requires more skill, more talent.
A silversmith? Are you the Reb Baruch, the silversmith?
That's right.
Oh.
Tamarla is my only child, and when I retire, you can take over the whole business. It brings in a fine living, and since you have already had training as a goldsmith, it will be no time before you will be a fine silversmith. What's the matter, Yitzhakel? Aren't you feeling well?
I don't want to be a silversmith.
It's a fine, respectable profession.
I don't like it.
Well, what would you like to be?
I'd like to be a stagecoach driver.
That's not for well-brought-up boys. That's for the uneducated rough men. A boy like you can't be a coach driver. And besides, you can't make a decent living driving a coach. A good silversmith makes a fine living. Now think it over, Yitzhakel. There's plenty of time.
Aunt Brenna, I don't want to marry Tamarla.
What are you talking about?
I've changed my mind. I don't want to marry anyone. I want to be a bachelor.
You can't do that. It's too late.
No, it isn't. I'm not married yet.
You've signed a contract. Only Reb Baruch and Tamarala can release you from the contract.
Then I'll talk to Reb Baruch.
He'll never let you go. Never.
I'll make him hate me. He'll be only too glad to get rid of me. You'll see.
Yitzhakel, what are you doing?
I'm smoking a Turkish nargila, as you can see.
It'll make you sick. And at least get away from the window so that you won't be seen. Boy of 17 should not be taking up such bad habits and in full view of everyone.
Reb Baruch has already seen me. I want him to see how... how degenerate I am.
It's no use. Reb Baruch won't change his mind.
Yitzhakel, what are you doing at my window?
I'm trying to peek in at my bride-to-be, Reb Baruch.
Oh, please go away from my window. You will shock the neighbors.
Who cares about neighbors?
No, it's very vulgar to try to stare at your bride-to-be. It's in very bad taste.
Bad taste, good taste, it's all the same. Who cares?
Oh, please come away. At least stand by the other window where the neighbors can't see you.
It's getting dark. Let's hurry.
We're practically home tomorrow.
Ah, my two beauties.
Oh.
Walking alone at this hour. All alone.
Yitzhakel, you almost scared me.
Did I?
I think you're rude.
Here, give me your hand, Tamarla. I'll take you home.
No. My friend and I...
I said I'll take you home, Tamarla.
All right, if you insist.
But what will the neighbors say?
They'll gossip, but who cares? Tell me, Yitzhakel, how is your Aunt Brenna?
Yitzhakul tried other desperate measures. He became friendly with the town drunk, and he wore European clothes, not the clothes of respectable people living in Palestine. But nothing could save him from his fate of marrying Tamarala and becoming a silversmith. Finally, he went to see Reb Baruch to ask him directly to release him from his contract.
Reb Baruch, Tamarala, your daughter, is really very beautiful, but I've been thinking it over. I won't make a good husband.
Oh, nonsense. I'm sure you will.
But I'm a restless fellow. I'm thinking of traveling to America. Perhaps I might even settle in China.
Oh. Well, wherever you go, Tamarala will go too.
But I'm not reliable, Reb Baruch. To tell you the truth, I run after women. And I've got a terrible temper. I'd probably strike poor Tamarala when I'm angry.
Tamarala is so sweet you will never lose your temper. Stop worrying yourself, Yitzhakul. In a year you will kiss my hand out of gratitude for giving you such a beautiful, sweet wife.
On the day of the wedding, Yitzhakul had the appearance of a doomed man. He went through the ceremony only half alive. He was barely able to smash the glass cup under his heel. He had to stamp at it three times.
Musician, hey, what are you sitting around for? Let's have something lively and gay.
Yitzhakul lived with his father-in-law and became a dutiful husband. Every day he went to work in Reb Baruch's silversmith shop. He worked hard and rarely saw the sun during the day nor felt the soft breezes on his cheeks. He tried to forget the great outdoors with its lovely trees and meadows and birds. He tried to become a good silversmith.
Yitzhak, we should start on the silver candlesticks if we want to have them ready for the Sabbath.
Reb Yitzhak, can't you hear me? Are you deaf?
Me? Were you talking to me?
There's nobody else here in the shop.
What?
I said there was nobody else here in the shop.
I can't hear you.
What are you shouting about?
I can't hear you. I'm getting deaf.
Huh?
I can't hear you. I can't hear.
No, calm yourself. There's nothing to be frightened about. It's just wax in your ears.
I can't hear anything.
Come on. I'll take you to Avramchik the Wise. He'll fix you up.
There's no question about it. A demon has crawled into his eardrum.
What can we do to help poor Yitzhakul?
Well, I've smeared his ear with honey, but the demon won't be tempted.
Yes?
I've fried hot camphor oil. Demons just can't abide camphor.
Yes?
But this demon is a very stubborn one. I'd have to try to frighten him out. Bim, 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 bim.
Oh, you scared me anyway.
But nothing could help poor Yitzhakul. He remained deaf despite all the clever tricks of Avramchik the Wise. Reb Baruch, frightened at the prospect of a deaf son-in-law, took him to Reb Israel the Magus. He too tried many recipes for curing deafness. He blew into his ear, then he tried pleading with the evil spirit. And finally, he too tried to frighten the demon. But Yitzhakul remained deaf. He was taken to a real doctor who could not determine the cause of his deafness. Then, one bright day, Dr. Schmatter arrived from Jerusalem in a special coach dispatched by Yitzhakul's father.
Oh, doctor, I'm so glad you came. Here is Reb Yitzhak. Come inside and examine him.
No, it's such a nice day, I think I'll take Yitzhakul for a ride. I can examine him later. Come on, Yitzhakul, step up.
He can't hear you.
Oh, give him a hand. That's fine.
Don't you think perhaps, well, maybe you should examine him first?
Plenty of time for that. Giddy up. See you later. You can hear me if I speak into your ear, can't you?
Yes, Dr. Schmatte.
Bend toward me every time I speak. Good. So, you've gone and gotten yourself married, Reb Yitzhak.
Yes, Dr. Schmonte.
A groom should be more enthusiastic. Perhaps your bride is too pretty, and you're worrying that someone will steal her away, eh?
She is very pretty, but...
Ah, then you found her out to be a simpleton. That's what's worrying you.
No, tomorrow is very bright.
Ah. I know why you're not a happy groom. You have too many responsibilities. Suddenly you're no longer a carefree youth, but a man with responsibilities. You must now work for a living and prepare for the future. What are you working at, Ributok?
I'm apprentice to my father-in-law, a silversmith.
Uh-oh. In my back pocket, you will find a bag of almonds. Oh, you're a silversmith. From a goldsmith to a silversmith, soon you'll be an expert on all the precious metals. Beautiful countryside around here, isn't it?
Oh, it's full of flowers now. The air is smooth like silk. Can I drive the coach, Dr. Schmonte?
Sure, take the reins. Let's go for a nice long ride.
Oh, that's fine. But what about the examination, my ears?
Don't worry about them. I've already examined them. Now let's get some speed out of these horses.
All right, Dr. Schmonte. Aye!
Aren't you going to examine him today, Dr. Schmutter?
I've already examined him, Reb Barak.
You did?
Yes, Reb Yitzhak is suffering from a serious ailment.
What is the matter with him?
His senses are very delicate. He can't stand old, dank air. He must have fresh air all the time. Breezes are the best thing in the world for him.
I will keep the door open in the shop.
He'll have to stay out of the shop for at least 3 months. Oh. Otherwise, he'll become totally deaf. That's all I have to say, Reb Barak. And I think it would be best if you didn't talk about the shop to him during his recuperation.
Dr. Schmata was really a demon himself. Reb Yitzchak began to get his hearing back. For months, he kept away from the shop and spent most of his time outside. Then suddenly, he received the bad tidings that his father died.
Dear son, your father, may he rest in peace, left you an inheritance. During the past few months, he bought out Reb Jacob's coaches, 4 coaches and a stable. He did not want to tell you because he believed that you might quit the honorable trade of becoming a silversmith. Now, these coaches must be sold, so I think it would be best if you came to Jerusalem and sold them yourself. It should not take you more than a week or so. Please, come at once, because the drivers are robbing us of half the fares. Your loving mother.
Well, Mother, today I received an offer of 140 gold napoleons for our stagecoaches.
Mm, that's the best offer yet. Take it, my son, and then you can go back to your wife in Safed.
Well, now if I sell the business, I'll just have 140 napoleons.
So?
And soon I won't have that either. But perhaps it would be best if I kept the business. And to save money, I could drive one of the coaches myself.
Yitzhako, you are still bewitched. That terrible Reb Jacob had a magic power. He once told your father that you would never be anything else but a coach driver.
Giddy up! Giddy up! Aye!
In all of Jerusalem, there was no better husband than Reb Yitzchak. And no one who had keener eyesight or sharper hearing than Reb Yitzchak. And perhaps no better human being than Reb Yitzchak. For in loving the Lord's creatures, he was doing the Lord's work.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Louis M. Loeb, president of the Young Men's and Young Women's Hebrew Association, currently celebrating its 75th anniversary. Mr. Loeb.
It is an honor to appear on the Eternal Light program, which has long been a bright beacon of Jewish history and culture. As one vitally interested in the community center movement and its profound influence on our greatest heritage, the youth of America, I feel that today's story has a significant message. Yitzhakel's temporary blindness and deafness were, of course, what modern psychologists refer to as psychosomatic illness. But once he was allowed to drive his beloved coach and horses through the beautiful countryside, his symptoms immediately disappeared, and he became a happy, useful citizen. Just as psychology diagnoses the illness, sociology treats it. The wise doctor is effectively represented today by numbers of modern, well-equipped community centers, citadels of warm and understanding guidance, forges of friendship. Their diverse character-building programs and facilities for social contacts, physical recreation, as well as for the development of talents and hobbies, are genuinely constructive steps in the creation of healthy, well-integrated citizens, in contrast to the ignorant and superstitious witchcraft resorted to by Yitzhakel's distraught parents. It was the doctor's wise counsel, not the herbs and ointments, which for Yitzhakel made the sun shine and the birds sing again. Yitzhakel would have been a miserable goldsmith or silversmith, but he had the makings of a first-rate coachman. The facilities of modern youth and community centers afford invaluable opportunities for American youth to find and learn the particular pursuits which they most enjoy and which contribute so very much to a full and wholesome existence. The nation's community centers can make no more significant contribution than by guiding hundreds of thousands of Yitzhakels to their own particular stagecoaches and horses, which they can drive along the highway of life as happy, well-adjusted citizens.
Thank you, Mr. Loeb.
Eternal Light drama today, A Magic Power, was adapted for radio by Sigmund Miller from a short story by a contemporary Israeli writer, Ari Ibn Zahav, author of the book Jessica, My Daughter. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Cadens. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Yitzhakel was Skip Hohmeyer, and Roger DeKoven was the narrator. The production was under the direction of Frank Pabst. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.